morning, everybody. Welcome to our shiur. Today's shiur is based loosely on a pasuk in yesterday's parsha. That we find that when Yaakov Avinu was giving the brachas to the various children, which really were instructions as to the future of the Klal Yisrael, so he lavished great praise and bracha on Yehuda. And the last thing he said was, Chachlili Einayim Yoyin, Uven Shinayim Mecholav. He said that Yehuda should have his eyes should be red from wine, meaning that he should have a lot of wine, and Uven Shinayim Mecholav, and he should also have in his land a lot of milk. And he should be Uven Shinayim Mecholav, his teeth should be white. His teeth should be white from milk. On this, the Gemara tells us, Maseches Ksubis, a very beautiful teaching. The Gemara tells us that by the fact that the Pasuk puts the milk second after the wine, it says, and then it says, well, ben shinayim mecholav, that the whitening of the teeth should be, his teeth should be white from milk. The Chazal interpreted this to mean, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it's not on the sheet, but you'll trust me. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol amal ben shinayim, tov amal ben shinayim l'chavero, yoser mimashkeil cholav. That it is a greater act to smile at a person, to show a person the whiteness of your teeth, rather than, even more so than giving him a cup of milk. Okay, what is so great about giving a person a cup of milk? So the explanation for we cannot appreciate this in our times where the world has refrigeration. But in the old world, milk was a great luxury because milk did not hold. If you didn't have a place to keep it, you couldn't get a container of milk like you get today. People drank milk only when it was fresh out of the cow. It wasn't so easy to get. So therefore, it was apparently considered a commodity to give someone a cup of milk. And the Chazal say, "Uven shinay mecholav." The interpretation here is a different interpretation than the pshuto shel mikra. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that his teeth should be white from milk, but the Chazal interpreted the pasuk to mean uven shinayim, that the whitening of his teeth is mecholav, is greater than milk. Meaning that showing someone your teeth, showing someone a smile, is considered greater than giving them a gift, which is a beautiful thing in its own right. The importance of a person having a pleasant disposition, a pleasant demeanor, because it impacts on other people. It's been pointed out, just as an aside, it's been pointed out that the only, really the main part of a person's body that we cannot see is our face. A person can see pretty much everything else, but a person's face you can't see unless you look in a mirror. So some have interpreted this to mean, homiletically, that a person's face really belongs to others. Meaning that the reason why you can't see it is because it's not yours in the sense that it impacts mostly on other people. How a person looks, if a person smiles, a person is happy, so it has a ability to carry over to others, contagious. And lehefach, a person who walks around looking upset or angry, so that's also unfortunately contagious. So that's the teaching of the Chazal, that a person with ben shinayim mecholav, that the person who's is malben shinayim chavero, that this is a great thing to do. Okay, that's as far as the parasha is concerned. So the parasha speaks about the whitening of teeth. So I figured that this would be a time to speak about an old topic, which recently has perhaps been revolutionized. We'll see. And that is the old question of, is one allowed to brush teeth on Shabbos? Okay, one of the basic things, the basic parts of human hygiene is brushing teeth. And yet it's widely known that there is opposition, that a lot of people have the custom that they do not brush teeth on Shabbos. So I'd like to look into what the issues are, why that should be, if in fact there are matirim, are there people who are lenient, and so forth. So basically, I think the consensus, the most commonly held view, is that people do not brush teeth with toothpaste on Shabbos. We'll soon see that I'm well aware that there are those who do, but there are many who don't. And the basis for those who don't, if you look at the sheet, is a very short tshuva that was written by Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he writes the following. He says, "Ubidvar l'nakel shinayim b'Shabbos v'yontif im toothpaste." That's what the words there are, right? If you want to know, can a person brush his teeth with toothpaste? He says, "Poshet she'asim." So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, nothing to talk about. Pashat She'asr is definitely, unquestionably forbidden. Shehu Memachek. Because this would be Memachek. Now what is Memachek? So this is something which I think needs clarification, and it's important because this goes beyond just the question of toothbrushing. There are certain malachas from the 39. Now, if you ask a person, what are the 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos? So, okay, there are some that are very famous, cooking, probably the most famous, carrying, writing. These are the famous malachas. Then there are some that are not so well known. One of them is a malacha that's called memachek. Okay, now what is memachek? So, in the Mishkan, one of the needs was they had hides of animals that were used for the curtains of the Mishkan. And these hides needed to be processed in order to be suitable for use. One of the things that needed to be done with these hides was they needed to clean them up, to remove the hair and so forth, to smooth them out, and to remove all the foreign items, not things that were on them that really shouldn't be there. So the scraping of these hides was a malacha called memachek, okay? And the way this malacha is interpreted is that it is, the point of the malacha is smoothing out a hard surface, taking a hard surface and smoothing it out, clearing it off and making it suitable for a use. In other words, all malachas that we have in the 39 malachas, with the exception of carrying, all the others are malachas because they are productive. They are things that, if you do this, so it leads to a certain productivity. Okay, and that's every, cooking, for example, would be a malacha because you're being productive. You're changing something from being raw to being cooked. Okay, building, etc. Even something which is a destructive malacha, such as erasing or knocking something down, which a structure which had already been standing, is considered productive if it is being done for the purpose of then being productive with it. So, for example, erasing something on Shabbos for the purpose of then being able to put something new, to write something new, that's a malacha because it's productive. So every one of the 39 malachas, except for Hotzah, has the common denominator that they are productive. So what is the productivity attached to this smoothing out the hide? Because of the fact that you're making it suitable for use. So you're scraping it off to make it suitable for use. This is memachek. Now, what this means is, just to clarify, in order for this malacha to be violated, this has to be scraping something off from something that was inherently part of it. If it was a completely foreign item that attached itself, then there would be no issue. So, for example, if you had a pot that got dirty, in other words, let's say a person cooked cholent in a pot, and now, as we know, the pot afterwards has to be scrubbed. So, not that should be done on Shabbos, but theoretically, if a person were to scrub that on Shabbos, so what are they doing? So you'll say, well, I'm removing the foreign matter from the pot, but that would not be a violation of this malacha because of the fact that the thing that you're removing was never part of it. It was not naturally part of it. Whereas, when you're dealing with the hair of an animal that is being taken off in order that this hide should be suitable for use, so that act is considered memachek, and that is an issur d'oraisa. Okay, now, Sir Rav Moshe Feinstein here says that would be the issue with brushing teeth because it's memachek. Very hard to understand. What does that mean? What exactly is memachek? In other words, if that would be true, then it would seem that in order for that to make sense, you would have to be saying that somehow when you brush your teeth, so it's not the toothpaste so much that's the problem per se, but it's the fact that somehow you're improving the enamel of the teeth, which doesn't really make sense, because if it's a question of just removing the dirt that's on the teeth, so that's not memachek. That's the same thing as cleaning off a pot. That's not, it's true that there are foreign matter there that needs to be removed, but that doesn't constitute this malacha. So how would this be? How could it be memachek? The only way it would make sense would be if you're suggesting that somehow when you brush your teeth, you're somehow removing part of the teeth, which is absurd, because that would mean that if a person brushed their teeth over a period of years, they wouldn't have any teeth left. They would be removing all of their teeth. So it's very difficult to take what Rav Moshe Feinstein here said literally. So therefore, what people assume he meant, and you know, I don't know if it was directly posed to him, but what is universally assumed is that he didn't mean memachek, but rather what he meant was that it's a tolda of memachek, that there's something else. In other words, just we know that the 39 malachas that we have, the 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos, were all acts that took place in the preparation of the Mishkan. Okay? Something that is similar to, but not exactly something that was done in the Mishkan would also be forbidden, but that would be considered a tolda, that would be considered a derivative of the original halacha. So when it comes to memachek, when it comes to this question of smoothing out a surface, there are two toldas, one of which is prohibited min haTorah, and one of which is prohibited midrabbanan. The one that is prohibited min haTorah would be in a situation where a person is smoothing out I'll just use the way it's explained in the books, a soft pliable substance that could be molded into a shape. In other words, the Torah prohibition is to take the hide of an animal, which could be used for curtains, which could be used for other purposes, so to make shoes, whatever it may be, and to scrape it off so that it's suitable for use. That's a hard item that is being smoothed out. The tolda of that is even if it's not a totally hard item, but it's somewhat pliable. But nevertheless, it's something that's being smoothed out that could possibly be molded into a shape. So, for example, the one example of this would be for a person to take putty. Let's say a person has they have a draft coming in from the window. It's cold, not here, but you live in a place where it's cold, and you want to, in Shabbos, it's cold. You want to seal up the window because there's a crack in the window. So you want to take some putty and spread it over the crack. So the spreading of that putty would be considered a malacha that is called mimareach. Mimareach means spreading, and the purpose of that is because you're taking putty which originally comes in, let's say, a ball or whatever it may be, a glob, and you're spreading it out in order that it should have a productive use. So that type of thing would be prohibited. Similarly, another example of this would be spreading tar, aside from other possible violations of Shabbos that would be involved in that, but spreading out tar, taking tar and spreading it over a surface would also be prohibited midaraisa, but this is not exactly the malacha of mimachek, but rather this is the malacha of mimareach. Okay, because you're taking a hard item, and it's not, it's semi-soft, it's pliable. In other words, the hide of an animal in its original form is hard. Here, you're taking something which is more pliable, and you're spreading it out and making it useful, so that would be a prohibition. So, due to its nature. Now, believe it or not, this is the basis for why it is prohibited to use a stick deodorant on Shabbos. In other words, the various forms of deodorants, obviously to spray on deodorant is no problem, but to use a stick deodorant, so you're taking a hard item and you're spreading it out. The deodorant is being spread on the person's body. So that would be a violation of Mimareach. That very possibly would be an Issa D'oraisa. Okay, now, but that still has nothing to do with us. So what does any of this have to do with toothpaste? Toothpaste is not a hard item, and it's not even a semi-hard item. It's a soft item. Yes? What's that?
Creams.
Yeah, I'm going to get that. So cream. So at this point, cream and toothpaste should not be any of these things because of the fact that they are soft. They're very, very soft. In other words, it has to be, in order for it to be a Torah violation, it has to be similar to the case in the Torah. The case in the Torah was a harder item that was being smoothed out. Something that's soft, such as ointment or cream or anything of that nature, should be permissible. So, to this, we have the Rabbanan came along and said that there's a second type of mimareach. There's a second type of something that would be spread that is prohibited, even though it is not hard and it's not semi-hard, as long as it holds together, as long as it's something that holds together as one, in other words, something that would not pour out, something that has some substance to it, that it holds itself together, that, the Rabbanan said, also a person cannot spread on Shabbos. Okay? So thus we have the three levels. You have the case in the Torah, which is spreading and smoothing out something which was totally hard. Then you have the tolda of that, which is smoothing out something which is semi-hard. And then we have the rabbinic prohibition, which is spreading and smoothing out something which is soft, but does not pour. It holds itself together. It's like an entity that holds itself together. Thus, it would come out that to spread cream on Shabbos, aside from whatever consideration may be involved in terms of the laws of refuah on Shabbos, of doing something which has medicinal value, but there would be an issue of the fact that cream holds together as one. If you take a tube of cream, if you take a jar of some sort of cream and turn it over, it won't fall out, or it won't pour out for sure. So therefore, that type of thing is prohibited midrabbanan. However, something which has no ability to hold itself together would be absolutely permissible. So therefore, you have the difference on Shabbos, the distinction between, let's say, using oil, like baby oil is the type of thing. Sometimes a person, for whatever reason it may be, needs to do something on Shabbos for some sort of irritation, and it's permissible, let's say, it's permissible as far as the laws of refuah are concerned. So to use a liquid is no problem, because that's not a violation of anything. Right, so if a person would take some sort of baby oil or something of the like, that would be okay. But to take a cream or an ointment, that would not be good. This is established as the prohibitions of Memarech. This is found in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam, if you look here in the bottom of the sheet. So the Rambam says that, he says in Halacha Hey, Hamavshit min ha'or kidei lasos kameya chayev. The Rambam says that a person who scrapes a hide in order to be able to use the hide for some purpose, so that would be chayiv, okay? And then he says, v'chein ha-mochek, that min ha'or, a few lines later, would also be chayiv. Ve'ezeh hu mochek, the last two lines of halacha hey, zeh ha-maver se'ar o hatsemer me'al ha'or achar misa. That would be, the Torah violation would be if a person removes the hair or the wool from an animal in order that after the animal is already dead, to take the skin to use it, that would be a Torah violation. And then he goes further and says what we just mentioned. If you go to Halacha Vav and you go skip down the first five lines, there's a period there, and then he says, V'chein hamamarech retia kolshehu o shaiva o zefes. If a person spreads any sort of plaster or wax or any other type of material like that, ve'advarim hamizmarchim, is something that can be spread, ad sheyichalek pneihem, until it's smoothed out. In other words, you're taking an entity like a cream and you're just smoothing it out. You're smoothing it out. In other words, you're spreading it out. That was prohibited by the Rabbanan. Now you'll say, why in the world should they have prohibited that? What's the problem with that? In other words, what are you going to do with that? By the other cases, so you're making the thing suitable for use. In other words, if you're taking the hide of the animal, so you're clearing off the hair so that the hide of the animal should be usable, should be able to make a curtain from it or a wallet or whatever it may be. And so too, the other case of the which is prohibited in Minat Torah, if you take a semi-soft item such as putty. So also, everyone understands that there would be something that you would gain from doing that, is that you'd be spreading it out in order to seal something. In other words, by spreading it out, it has a use, right? But when you have something like a cream, what would be the issue with that? So it's not totally clear, but it seems that this would be prohibited simply because it resembles the other things. In other words, sometimes the Rabbanan made something usur not because inherently it presents a problem, but because if you allow a person to do this, they'll get confused and do the other thing which is prohibited by the Torah. So therefore, it comes out that we have the halacha that using, this is, I think, well known but not well understood, that spreading a cream or something like that is prohibited on Shabbos. Now, just for the record, it would come out, according to this, that in situations where a person had, it's where it would be permissible, you know, like I said before, when it comes to these things on Shabbos and they have medicinal value, so then you have to deal with the question of, are you allowed to practice healing on Shabbos for a person who's not really ill? Obviously, if a person is seriously ill, there's no question. But what happens if a person is, let's say, a cholish embos sakana? The person is not well, but not so, not in any real danger. Or let's say it's even less than that. So then there are halachas that govern that. But sometimes a person can be, a person can say, given my situation, it would theoretically be permissible to put on a cream as far as the prohibition of refuah is concerned. But what about the concern of mimareach? So what sometimes people are told to do is to put on a cream without smearing it. In other words, to just dab it on. Dabbing it on, assuming there was no problem of refuah, would be permissible because of the fact that that's not similar to any malacha. In other words, if you put the cream on and you spread it, so that is similar to the malacha of smoothing. However, if you just dab it on, so then you're not really doing anything, so that is a heter that sometimes people hear, and they'll hear a Rav will say, okay, so just dab it on, and you think to yourself, okay, once he gave me the permission to do that, why don't I just smear it? The answer is a very big difference, because if you smear it, then you're doing something which is prohibited by the rabbis, and if you just dab it on, then there is no problem. Okay, now, what does this have to do with brushing teeth? So, the defenders of Rav Moshe Feinstein, not that he needs defenders, but the interpreters, let's put it that way, of Rav Moshe Feinstein said that this is what he meant. That what he meant was that when you put toothpaste on a toothbrush and you brush it onto your teeth, so you are spreading the toothpaste over your teeth, and that would be mimareach. That's the commonly held view of what he meant. In other words, even though he says in the tshuva memachek, but it's, that very difficult, we mentioned before, very difficult to understand that. And as such, there should be, that wouldn't be memachek, but memareach, this, because you're taking the toothpaste and it's being spread over teeth. So that would be similar to spreading a cream. That is the way it is interpreted, exactly what he meant. Okay, now, go ahead.
What about the issue of schita?
Well, get there. Yeah, a whole bunch of things. Yeah. So now, this is his opinion, and this is, I think, it's said over in his name that, it was said over in his name that a person should not brush teeth on Shabbos with toothpaste. And according to this, the problem would be not the brush per se, the problem would be the toothpaste being spread over the teeth. The opposing view here, there were definitely people that disagreed strongly with this. Rav Avadya Yosef in his tshuva, Yabia Omer, quotes, he has three long tshuvas where he goes through the various possible considerations. We're going to mention the other one soon. He said, as far as the Memareach is concerned, that he did not think that was a problem. I don't know if he was aware that Rav Moshe Feinstein had said otherwise, but he doesn't acknowledge it. He usually writes in his tshuvas, he always says over what everyone else says. But here, I don't believe he mentions it, so it could be he was unaware. But the fact is that he said he doesn't see a problem with that. Why not? So he said, because it immediately gets wiped away. Because when you spread the toothpaste over your teeth, you're not planning on leaving it there for any period of time. It's just a momentary thing, and therefore it's going to be washed away immediately, and there would be no problem with that. How does he know? As you'll say, so who told you that makes a difference? Just because the fact is you're spreading the toothpaste over your teeth, so big deal that it's being washed away right away. So he brings two proofs, I don't want to go into it, he brings two proofs from sources, neither one of which is overwhelmingly convincing, to be honest, but the fact is that, and they've been challenged, but nevertheless, he writes very strongly that he feels that this is permissible, it's not a problem, and in the end, he without going into it, he wanted to say that it could be this question, if you remove it right away, might be a difference of opinion between the Mechaber and the Ramah, which would mean the difference of opinion between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. The author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, is lenient in this. He claims that the Ramah is Machmir. So therefore, he comes out at the end that he's only really comfortable allowing the brushing of teeth for Sfardim and not for Ashkenazim. That's what he said. But okay. But nevertheless, that's an opinion where he does not agree, with what Rav Moshe Feinstein said. A more famously held opinion, which disagrees with Rav Moshe Feinstein, was the opinion of Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik of YU, who said that outright that it is mutter to use toothpaste on Shabbos. We have it here, the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, which was written on the occasion of his first Yahrzeit by Rav Herschel Schachter, one of his greatest students. So he writes here, the title is not put on top of it, but he writes here, and Rav Schachter brings down in the second paragraph, he says, Rabbeinu HaYosavar Shemuta L'shtamish B'mishcha Shinayim B'Shabbos. He says that Rav Soloveitchik held that it is mutter to use toothpaste on Shabbos. So he went through all the steps. So the first thing he said was, it's not memachek. I don't even know if he saw Rav Moshe Feinstein's shuva, it also doesn't seem that he was aware of it, but I don't know that it would have mattered. He had his own opinion, and he said that he doesn't see any problem of memachek, because as we mentioned at the outset, memachek is when you're removing something, when you're scraping it off to remove the hair. So he says that that's ridiculous. That's not what happens. You don't remove the enamel from your teeth when you brush them. So then he brings here that if you go about halfway down the paragraph, he says pasuk echad min haTalmidim. There's a period. He says pasuk echad min haTalmidim. So one of the students jumped in, va'amar, and he said shedasa machmirim bezeh hu mitam mimareach. That he said over that the people who don't allow it, it's because they're concerned about mimareach v'lo mishum mimachek. So. He says, "Ukishmor Rabbeinu Cain." He says that when Rav Soloveitchik heard this, "Adayin ton va'amar shelo shayach lesser mishum imareach elo b'makom shehosif shetach cholak chodesh al gabim chelak chodesh al gabim mashu." So he said that he doesn't. He said, "I don't think that's a problem either, because the only time there would be a problem of mimareach is if you're adding, is smearing something over a surface that's going to remain. If you're putting something over that's going to remain." Avo Bekan, he says, "Ein betchila ein amishcha nitenes al gabi ashinayim betzura shel sheta cholak." He says that it was never put there for that purpose. In other words, first of all, you're never really smoothing it over the teeth. You're just rubbing it up and down, and it's meant to dissolve and to, you know, immediately the toothpaste changes consistency, right? That it goes from being the paste type of consistency to being the foamy type of consistency, which other people claim was an issue of perhaps nolad, but whatever. But he said he doesn't see any way that would be considered mimareach either. And then he writes that somebody said to him that one of the toothpaste companies claimed that if you use their toothpaste, that it leaves a coating on the teeth, that it leaves a hidden coating, that the toothpaste somehow protects the teeth by putting coating on the teeth, and therefore, so one of the students said, so then it should be usher, because, even if the toothpaste per se is being washed away immediately, but it's leaving a coating, so the coating should be prohibited for mimareach, to which he responded by saying, "You believe them?" He said, "That's what they claim." He said, you think it's true? How do you know that's true? I heard that direct quote, that's what he said. He said, "You believe that?" He said, but even if it is true, he came back and said that even if it is true, he said, it can't be that the Torah prohibited something that's invisible. He said, you can't see it. So if you can't see it, then even if it's true, then that can't be what the Torah meant by memareach. And on that basis, he allowed it outright. So that is the famous, famous opinion that a lot of people quote. So thus you have the two, essentially, you have the as far as this issue of mimareach. Now we'll soon see this is not the only issue, But as far as this issue of Mimareach, so you have Moshe Feinstein, who said clearly, unequivocally, that it's usher, he said it's pashut. And it's a remarkable thing, because if anyone's familiar with Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas, he very often writes very lengthy tshuvas. And here, on an issue which is so relevant to everybody, it's five lines. He just said it's pashut. I can't even imagine. There's no question that you can't do it. But yet, there are people who disagree. So, okay. So there you have, in the world, you have some follow this opinion, some follow that opinion. So, but that's the element is, according to this, in other words, we're focusing right now on this point, namely, is the spreading of the toothpaste on the teeth, is that considered memareach, yes or no? Rav Moshe Feinstein said yes, Rav Avad Yosef seemed to hold no, and Rav Soloveitchik surely held no. Yes?
So we said by Rav Avad Yosef, we said the machlokes between the Machaber and the Ramah in terms of how he gets a sheep that is not permanent. Sees Rav Soloveitchik saying the same yisod. In other words, how does he do with the Ramah? He seems to be saying that it's not permanent, and therefore, if you're not over this in Marek, it's not permanent.
Right.
Yet the Ramah says you're still over
there. Yeah, I don't know.
So
I'll be honest with you. Rav Yosef Shu is very, very long, and I didn't have the time to go through why he thinks the Ramah. A lot of people...
No, so I'm not asking Rav Yosef, I'm asking Rav Soloveitchik. How does Rav Soloveitchik
deal with that? I don't know. I'm saying I don't know his claim that the Ramah holds its also. I have to see. I don't know how he should...
But it's not the same thing at that end.
Yeah, it's not, pretty much. Yeah, that's the opinion. A lot of people, the truth is you could understand the two sides. In other words, if you think about it, on the one hand, yes, you are spreading, when you brush the toothpaste onto your teeth, you are spreading a mass of an entity over your teeth. That is true. So Rav Moshe says that that's memareach, right? However, the others say, yeah, but it's not meant to last, and it immediately changes consistency, and it gets washed away. So therefore, it would not be a problem. Okay, hard to know. You have to be a real expert in the Hilchos Shabbos to be able to have an opinion one way or the other. But this is what's out there in the world. This is, I think, known to in the world. Okay, now, this is by far not the only issue when it comes to brushing teeth. Okay, there are several other issues which I'd like to go through. There, in fact, somebody put together a whole list. If you go through every possible thing that somebody raised, there are many tshuvas that were written by many different Rabbanim Gedolim over the years, and if you take them all, you will see that there were eight things that people pointed out that might be an issue with brushing teeth. I'm going to go with the consensus most famous ones. Okay, so this is number one. Okay, next, the second possible issue here would be the issue of molid. The issue some people want to say, I mentioned this a minute ago, that there may be a concern with the fact that you are changing the consistency of the toothpaste. What is that? Where does that come from? So if you turn over here the page, we have the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Nun Aleph on the base. It's the last four lines of that paragraph. It says, "Ein merazkin loas ashelad v'loas abarad b'shabbos b'shvil sheyazuvu meimav." The Gemara says that a person is not allowed to take snow or ice on Shabbos and crush it in order that the water that it should be converted to water. A person not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay. However, the Gemara says further, "Avol nosein hu l'socha kos o l'socha karav ein l'choshesh." But a person is allowed to put it into a cup, and there's no problem. Meaning that we all know we use ice on Shabbos, you use ice in a drink. You have a cup of soda, water, whatever, you put in ice. That everyone understands. It can be done. But what cannot be done is that a person cannot take ice and crush it to get the water to come out. Now, why not? Why not? So this is a big argument amongst the Rishonim. The Gemara doesn't give the reason. In the Rishonim, there are two schools of thought, and because it was said by Gedolei HaRishonim, so we take both opinions seriously. Rashi on the Gemara is not on the sheet, but Rashi on the Gemara says that the reason why you can't do this is because this is nolad. This is nolad. What does that mean? That means like something is being born. Something is being created. Meaning that previously you had ice, and now you have water. So something new, so to speak, has come into the world. Now, even though you'll say, it's not really new because ice is frozen water, but nevertheless, in the frozen state, it's one.